It was like a big nightmare, and I thought I was gonna do time for something I didn't do.
The pretext for the creation of the Zionist regime.
It is kind of becoming a must-attend event, Rick.
What the administration has done today in this unambiguously bad decision.
There is something that I gotta tell you now. Voila!
World famous Phil Hendry Show, till 1 o'clock on the West Coast here at the El Pacifico, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, all over America on our website, philhendryshow.com, with live streaming video and live streaming audio on demand the day after, as well as downloadable shows, full shows. This is a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch on this show, and I don't care if we come down on the side of Nazis, which I can't foresee happening. But we don't have any political ideology, none that is traditional. We are free thinkers. We call ourselves that because we don't want to be independents, because that term has already been soiled and stained beyond recognition. We just don't, you know, adhere to any kind of ideology, man. What we like to do is see our country survive and, you know, have a couple of laughs. Ain't that what it's all about?
That is for me and many of the people that I know. I want to ask, can I ask you a question, Phil?
Go ahead.
Did Wolf Blitzer, did he say these people are dark? Or did he?
I didn't say that, man. Hold on, let him finish.
Yeah, because Robert said, Wolf Blitzer said, these people are dark and getting darker all the time.
No, I did not. What did you say?
I said, Wolf Blitzer said, these people are so black, man, oh, are they black.
What are you talking? He said, these people are so black, they're so poor and so black.
Yeah, that's what I said.
No, you didn't. You said these people are dark and getting darker all the time.
Yeah, that's what you said. Yeah, but you said the other thing.
Do you mind if I do the show?
What?
Do you mind if I do the show?
No, I don't mind.
No, I don't mind. Well, thank you so very deeply that I not work out your problems right now. These people are dark and getting darker all the time.
That's what I thought.
Why don't you listen, man? Open up. Get, you know what? Give him those Q-tips, because the wax in his ears. Oh, baby. Either that or get my surfboard out so we can... All right, Hofstra rape accusation traumatizing, former suspect says. Now, if you don't know this story, it's pretty shocking, and it comes down to this, and it reminds us of the Duke story, and there's a lot of these things. You know, God knows that women have been brutalized down through the years. There's no question there isn't a man on earth that has 5 cents worth of brains between his ears that doesn't know that women have been the victims of some pretty unspeakable crimes. And those have to be continually prosecuted, and the people that perpetrate them have to be brought to justice. However, is there anything more unspeakable in this world than accusing someone of a crime they didn't commit when you know they didn't commit a crime? And what is even more shocking is a woman accusing a man of committing a crime that will just devastate his reputation forever that he didn't commit. You know, any woman that brings a charge of rape against a man knowing that it is not true knows consciously that she is now about to destroy that man's reputation for all time. Now, I am not one of these guys that's sitting here saying, okay, so if you've been wrongly accused of rape, please call our show. Because, I don't play that, you know. I know that there's a lot of guys behind bars that ought to stay behind bars, maybe even dropped into a lower section of bars for the crimes that they've committed. But these are guys... it turns out, are innocent. And how do we know? Because the so-called victim herself recanted. And why did she do that? Well, there was a videotape. Yes, there was a videotape. And they looked at the videotape, and as soon as she found out there was a videotape, she says, you know, I think I want to change my story. 4 young men falsely accused of raping an 18-year-old student at Hofstra were trying to return to their lives on Friday after an ordeal the two of them described as traumatic. Authorities dropped charges and freed the 4 men after their accuser changed a story about having been forcibly tied up and sexually assaulted in a dormitory bathroom. The woman recanted her story on Wednesday after authorities told her that part of the incident was recorded on a cell phone video. Authorities have not released the accuser's name. We'll explain why in a moment. Kevin Tavares told CNN's Headline News, the reporter was Jane Velez Mitchell, how he felt after being falsely accused of gang rape.
It was like a big nightmare, and I thought I was going to do time for something I didn't do. I was going to be punished for something that I did not do.
And did you get this feeling kind of horror, like I'm living a nightmare, but my eyes are open?
Yes, it was a nightmare that you can't wake up from, you know. It was devastating, and I was there just letting the clock tick and tick.
Jane, why don't you back up? And did you get the... Yeah, I did. Okay. This guy's name is Stalin Felipe. Anyway, that probably didn't help either. Stalin Felipe, also falsely accused, speaks to Fox News about the accuser, the tape that exonerated him, and the rush to judgment by the media and police.
The way I see it, if she didn't know that there was a video out there, she wouldn't have cared. She would have let us just rot in jail, you know? So I'm just happy at the end of the day the truth came out. At the end of the day, it doesn't really matter what really happened. It just matters that she told the truth and what didn't happen, and it wasn't rape. Mm-hmm. So at the end of the day, I don't think anybody cares if it was a porn video, if it was a dirty sex tape. Nobody really cares. Like, everybody just cares about, you know what? Our names were tarnished in the dirt. We were dogs. We were pigs. Whatever they said about us. And now we're innocent. We're healed. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, it's the whole media thing. Like, as I said before, we weren't even suspects. We weren't alleged. We were rapists. They never gave it the benefit of the doubt or nothing.
Nassau County District Attorney Kathleen Rice explains how investigators figured out that the accuser was lying.
Prosecutors almost immediately identified significant inconsistencies as she told them her story. The turning point was when she was confronted with the fact that there may exist a video of some or all of the incident, the woman began to reveal the truth about what happened. Her actions and her demeanor depict a very troubled young woman in need of much help. What's important here is that we found the truth, we got her to admit what happened, and we were able to put an end to this injustice.
Now, they did not release this woman's name, although they have been calling her
Thundercrack.
However, she, if she's accused of a crime, and I gotta believe there's gotta be a crime here, man, you gotta put this woman behind, then her name, it sure won't be
Thundercrack
anymore. Well, maybe.
Yeah, among certain people.
Yeah, among certain parties. But right now, because she hasn't yet been charged with a crime, she remains anonymous because the law says that the accusers are the potential victims of a rape are not named. These men were named because they were suspects. They were booked into a jail cell. They had their pictures taken, their fingerprints taken. They're put in a jail cell. The media gets their names. Now we find out, oh, guess what? They're innocent. However, the good news is this. Because of the rapidity of information flowing through our system, we do know their names, and we do know they're innocent. That's good. I would say that these guys are an example of something that needs to be looked at a little bit more closely. So if somebody, what I'm getting at is this, if someone makes a false accusation of rape, if someone makes a knowingly false accusation of child molestation, I don't think the sentence is meted out in months. I don't think the sentence is meted out in single years. I think it's a 10-year, I'm very serious too. I think it's a 10-year minimum rap. I think you go into a cage for 10 years because what you have done, quite possibly, is ruin someone's reputation, even if they are innocent. People go for years stained with these accusations. And those of you in Los Angeles know the McMartin preschool story very well, where that family, after they were exonerated of the most gruesome charges about child molestation, torturing animals, working children as slave labor, I mean, the most fantastical jackass stuff you ever heard. Even after we found out that the main accuser was a mental case, even after we found out that none of this stuff was true, those people were basically run out of the business and for years after have been mocked by the public as having been the kinds of people that they weren't. So I think you go to jail for a minimum of 10 to 15 years. I think you rot there. I think you think about it. I don't care if you come out and you're I don't care if you come out with a tattoo on your face, man. I don't care if you come out just with all kinds of prison ugly and you've decided to go ahead and join up with a V-13. It doesn't matter to me. If you ruin their life, guess what? Your life's wrecked. 877-876-PhilHendrysShow, 877-876-PHIL. The ex-chiefs of the CIA have asked Obama to drop these abuse investigations. Why is that? They were already investigated. If Eric Holder continues, he's basically saying, even though the Bush Justice Department investigated them, we're going to investigate them because we think the Bush administration did a bad job. Why? Well, because we think politically they suck. Not good enough, man. Not good enough. 877-876-PHIL. We'll be right back.
Phil Hendry Show.
You have been tweeting me.
Phil Hendry.
As you know, Rick Sanchez was in the news today.
There is something that I got to tell you now.
I hate Barack Obama.
No, that wasn't it. He was talking about how Fox News is sticking it in and twisting it and breaking it off with that ad in the Washington Post that says, CNN, how is it that CNN, MSNBC, Fox, ABC, not Fox, but the rest of these jackballs, how is it that they missed the anti-tax Tea Party story? And Rick just got exorcised, man. He got so pissed off, he said,
I hate Barack Obama.
And he didn't mean to say that. 877-876-PHIL. We'll go over to a phone call here in San Antonio, it's Nancy. Nancy, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. How are you? Sorry, Nancy. How are you doing, Nancy? Thanks for calling.
I was calling because I had a comment about the rape and the guys that were, or the girl that recanted her petition on the four guys. First of all,
did you just call? Did you just call this evening? Did you just call? Yeah, you already called this evening. Yeah, get a life. Somebody get the screener a cup of coffee, too. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Matthew in Topeka, Kansas. Matthew, you're on. Jesus H, man, I'm telling you guys, I'm going to put a fire axe through this board and through this call screening within minutes, or I'll kill myself first. One of the two. Matthew, hi. How you doing, man?
I'm good. How are you?
Great, brother.
I live in a small community outside of Topeka, Kansas, a rural community. It's a very strong Republican community, as much of Kansas is. Now, with that in mind, the residents and the people in this community are a little tougher on the things that Barack Obama does and quote-unquote errors that he makes. Now, there's a new audio tape out of Obama calling Kanye West a jackass for that incident at the Music Awards with what he did with Taylor Swift.
Right.
I was talking with the lady at the grocery store yesterday, and she made a comment to me about how unprofessional it was for the leader of our nation to single out an individual and call them a jackass, and how unprofessional it was for Barack Obama to do so. Now, I got to thinking about that, and I completely disagree with everything she just said. I love the fact that Barack Obama is a straight shooter, and he calls things as he sees them. You know, Kanye West is a jackass move out there. There's really no other explanation or better word to describe what he did. So, in my opinion, what Obama said goes in favor for his character and in the way that he can. Excuse me.
I agree with you. And the president was speaking. The president was speaking with the press. I believe he was speaking with the press. And there's a familiarity with the press. And I think. But you're right. There's no criticizing him for that. It was an appropriate comment. Kanye West apologized. I think you encountered, Matthew, one of these ideologues that we talk about so much on this show, that because Obama's a Democrat, because he is a perceived liberal, there's nothing in the world that he can do right. Getting out of bed in the morning is a wrong move. Putting on the wrong color underwear is a wrong move. Taking one step with the left foot instead of the right, that's a wrong move. Using the wrong tooth. Anything that he does is wrong. And our country is strangling on that. Our country is strangling on people like you, the person you encountered. They're killing our country.
That's so extreme in this part of Kansas. As a matter of fact, we have very, very poor, labor laws in Kansas. The worker is not protected very well. And even people, because of how the Republican Party has oftentimes attached themselves to religion, They use that. They say that Western Kansas is God's country, and every
okay.
Highway you get
on. I got you. Yeah, yeah. And well, if it's God's country, then it's supposedly the land of love and understanding and concern and sitting down with the Pharisee and with the harlot. Anyway, brother, thanks for your call. I'm going to move on. Matthew, good call. You're absolutely right. Here is John in Boston. John, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
Hey, Phil. Good to hear from you.
Yes, I thought I'd call because you still have my lawnmower. And
well, I'm gonna
go ahead, man. Yeah, okay.
Well,
cool.
My point was with the Bush administration and why we have to reinvestigate. We have to the missiles over in Poland. We have to redo that. It basically it's because they were a bad administration. They weren't Republican or Democrat. They were a bad administration.
That's your opinion.
In my opinion.
And that's not necessarily a crime, though. You understand the difference between political... Okay.
Oh, I agree. I know, Phil. I'm actually just... I agree with you. Actually, I'm glad I found you, because I really agree. But historically, they just failed. And why should we believe or trust anything they did? We should investigate them and try
I
to
do.
Find out what was good and what
I
was
do.
Bad.
I do.
Okay.
And I'll tell you what, this goes back to a book I'm reading, John. I'm reading, and I've mentioned this on the air, I'm reading a book about the impeachment of Andrew Johnson.
Okay.
And one of the smart things that was said by a guy that wasn't a Johnson fan, he was a senator, he said, listen, gentlemen, if you want to impeach a president because his politics, his policy was in direct disagreement with your own, brother, we've got a problem here. That's left to the ballot box. We impeach for crimes committed, high crimes and misdemeanors. If we disagree with the policy of a president, we may vehemently disagree. That is, it's a far cry from actually investigating the man criminally, because now you're getting into almost like a purge. You're looking to
right.
to create a situation of illegality because his policy was contrary to your own. I think it's a dangerous thing to do. And I don't know. Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, when you put it that way, I totally agree. I actually meant more we should, for more historical reasons, and get the information out for the people, like what we're living through right now is a lot of the phony information getting out. I always say Barack Obama was hired to fix things. He didn't break things. So my whole point was that you're right. We should, for historians, and maybe not to prosecute, but his incompetence and then administration's incompetence about Iraq, everything else,
I gotta disagree. I mean, if you talk about a guy having to fix things that were broken, it can be argued that George Bush had to fix a lot that was broken in the 90s when it came to Al-Qaeda and Iraq and the United Nations and the incomplete war. And the, I mean, but that's the difference between you and me, see? And because you think one way and I think another. That
Bush is anyone's problem. I don't think Al-Qaeda is always going to be a problem. I don't think it's anyone's problem.
Well, they got to be one hell of a problem in 2001.
Oh,
one
yeah,
hell of a problem, okay?
And I think it's always going to be there.
The difference that I'm saying to you, John, rather than debate Iraq, you have an opinion, I have an opinion, and you're profoundly opposed to President Bush. I understand that, but that is not a reason to criminally investigate a man. If we go down that road, we might as well throw away the ballot box, you know?
No, Phil, I totally agree with you. I don't mean it that way. But the people historically got understand his incompetence, and they don't.
All right, well, it sounds like, but keep this in mind. When you begin to investigate history and when you begin to investigate the facts, you may come away with an entirely different book, man. You may come away with an entirely different opinion. It's happened before. We've had a lot of, and I thank you very much, John. It's a great call. And those are very good points. And but when we look at history and when we look at any case, whether it's a crime that was committed or a moment in history as it pertained to policy, a moment in history as it pertained to either public or private events, the facts have a way of changing our opinion once we know them, you see. And again, I go back to our good friend Marcus Melitzis from Daily Kos. He's a nice kid. He's got himself a great website for people that like that, and that's okay. But when I put the question to him and I said, well, what crimes are you accusing the Bush administration of having committed? He could only think of one. He could only think of one. It was the Scooter Libby lying to the FBI. Now, that is a crime, but it wasn't committed by George Bush. And it's a long run from war crimes and illegal this and illegal wiretrap that and illegal. You know, everybody's a constitutional authority. That doesn't necessarily mean that we're right. We may say the Constitution says this, the Constitution says that. in between ordering our cafe latte and doing what we do for a living, which is probably something completely different. But at the end of the day, we have to leave this to the law and how it is interpreted and the times. And like I said, sometimes you come away with a different book. Anyway, we'll be back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show here, 877-876-PHIL. Let's talk about the ex-CIA chiefs urging Obama to drop the abuse investigations and more when we get on back.
Phil Hendry.
You have been tweeting me.
Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
877-876-PHIL, and the beauty of Saturday is upon us. We're going to wrap our show up here in the next half hour. Still plenty of stuff to talk about. We have the stories that we couldn't get to. I want to remind you that, of course, our website, philhenryshow.com, is streaming live video right now of the show. So if you don't have a backstage pass, you can take a look at me. You can take a look at Bud. You can, oh, forget it. Also, we're at Twitter and at facebook.com/Phil Hendry. I wanted to mention a little bit about the ex-CIA chiefs urging Obama to drop the abuse investigation, but we basically covered it with our last caller. The reason why they're saying this is that because this was investigated by the Bush administration's Justice Department, that there is no need for U.S. Attorney General Eric Holder to name a prosecutor to examine whether criminal charges should be filed against CIA agency interrogators or contractors. They did investigate. They did find sufficient evidence to charge one of the contractors. So I will say this. I don't want to accuse Obama or Holder until I got absolute proof that these guys are purely motivated by politics. But Holder has, I think he's got a time frame to work with. You go ahead and you take a look, Holder. And what you do is you look at the investigations anew that were already conducted, and if everything smells good, then you drop it, okay? Because we got other things to do with our attorney general than to reinvestigate cases that have already been investigated by the Bush administration. If somebody wants to tell me, well, the Bush administration is criminal, well, guess what, Charlie? You ain't got any proof of that either. You may not like him, but that doesn't mean that what they did was suspect as... And as we found out, and I hate to bring this up, the two attorneys that were fired for refusing to investigate Acorn, it turns out that was a pretty damn good move. Now, they almost crucified Gonzalez for it. They almost hung that guy upside down in a gas station for it. And now we find out, guess what? Acorn ain't all that boogie-woogie, are they? And these two lawyers, whoever these two dumbasses are, I can only hope these guys are in the yellow pages doing drunk driving. They were told to do something. They refused to do it. You're fired. That's how it works in my world, man. I don't know about anybody else. 877-876-PHIL. Here is Ben in Phoenix. Ben, what's going on tonight?
Oh, not much. Hey, I just didn't really...
Turn your radio down there, brother.
I think it was appropriate for Obama to be criticizing Kanye like he did. I'm a big fan of Kanye.
Oh, okay. Now, you're a big fan of Kanye, huh?
Yeah.
What's your favorite song?
My favorite song is, I don't know. I just like him.
Get Lost. 877-876-PHIL. There's a guy that's so bored. I can only hope he's not driving. If you have to take care of it, man, pull over behind a tree, pull out that centerfold and get to work, and then, and when I say pull out the centerfold, I mean the one that's made out of paper. Here is Richard and Elisa Viejo. Richard, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's up?
Hi, Phil. I remember one of your recent callers tonight talked about the terror suspects being prosecuted on Guantanamo Bay. And in the first place, I'm just wondering, isn't it just as unconstitutional to grant constitutional rights to Osama bin Laden's friends?
They're not constitutional rights. It's a military tribunal. And there are certain rights granted by the United States military to defendants in a tribunal, a military tribunal case. But again, you have suspects that have no legal definition. It's a very difficult gray area. Are they prisoners of war? No. Are they citizens of any particular country? Well, not really. They hold allegiance to this terror organization, and they're operating in a third country, and they are holding allegiance to a gang leader So what do you call them? Well, we called them enemy combatants. That pissed off people. So then we call them detainees.
Yes, sir. I also understand you're a great fan of history, as myself, Mr. Hendry, and I'm sure you could agree with me somewhat that Khalid Sheikh Mohammed, Osama bin Laden, the rest of their cronies are probably the most disgusting fiends in world history, and September 11th had to be the most disgusting ghoulish atrocity in world history.
No, I thought it was a pretty good day, other than what happened in New York. I agree with you, Richard. You're absolutely right, man. Absolutely right. And I think if it was up to me, they'd waterboard them again just for fun. Just to say, hey, guys, guess what? Another waterboarding. Come on. You know you liked it the first time. Thanks very much, Richard. Good call. Here is Griffith in Los Angeles. Griffith, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. What's going on?
Good morning. I was in the gym the other day, and I happened to be walking by a TV with Fox News on it, and some senator or representative was on there saying, Americans, we shouldn't have a public health care option. It's horrible. It's un-American. It's socialist, et cetera, the usual rhetoric. And it made me so infuriated, and I thought here's a good idea. If they do not pass a public health care option for the citizens of the United States, which even I heard Bill O'Reilly is for a public health care option, if they do not pass a public health care option, they should have no public health care for any government officials. They all will have
It's against the law. It's against the law. As a matter of fact, this was just brought up in the Senate yesterday, or in the House of Representatives, a bill of attainder. You know what that is? It's passing legislation as a punitive measure. In other words, if you don't pass our bill, then we're going to do something to you. And it's actually unconstitutional. You know what I'm saying? I know what you're saying. I understand, man. You're basically saying these guys have health insurance at the public expense, to which they would, to which they would rejoin. Well, of course, we work for someone, and they provide health insurance, and we get health insurance. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
I wish that people.
I'm not suggesting to do something like that. I mean, I'm fully aware. Yeah.
Yeah. No, I hear you, Griffith. I can only hope, man, that the argument is made as clearly as possible. The president again today said, "I'm not insuring illegals. I don't see anything wrong with insuring people with legal status. They're working here. They're living here. Of course, you know."
It's so funny that they use the rallying cry of the "you lie" thing. Yet the guy who was yelling "you lie" is the one who was lying, and yet they still use that as the rallying cry. I don't know, the hypocrisy. Just the main point of my thing is that the hypocrisy that is going on right now is so astounding. I mean, I know everybody's a hypocrite, but it's just so blatant.
What's happening, man, is as I mentioned, Griffith, and I think it bears repeating, there is also a media war going on, as I said to you. There are a lot of media entities that are going under. Others are trying to sop up the gravy. And there's a war, and truth is the first casualty of a war between two broadcast news outlets, because they're going to try to get viewers. That doesn't necessarily mean tell the truth.
Yeah, that's very true.
It's messed up, man. Now, I think, and you probably agree, we got a president who can communicate this thing really well. I was worried that maybe he was too much of a lightning rod, but given the fact that everybody else has dropped the ball with the message, he needs to get out there, explain it as calmly as he can. And I'm telling you, man, if we don't get national health care and we still go along the same way, we're going to see how this century rolls out, man, and we are going to be stumbling out of the gate. Griffith, thank you so much for your call. Pardon me while I clear my throat out.
You're getting over that cold, ain't you?
Just a very slight, you know. It's cool. I still have a little bit of that cold, but it's going away, man. Dave in Boston. Dave, what's going on?
Hi, Phil. How you doing?
Hi. Very good. Thank you.
I would like to know where the Attorney General's office was after Election Day when they had on tape the two Black Panthers intimidating voters outside the voting polls.
The Panthers claimed they were there to protect, which was equally asinine. Protect what? From who? I don't know. Maybe Jason Rantz, our producer, you can find out. Were those guys, I think they were basically told by the police, just move on, man. Get out of here. You don't belong here. And I believe that's what happened.
I still, it just bothers me that nothing was done by this, that it was just completely dropped, but yet they'll waste taxpayer money going over investigations that had already been done by the Bush administration.
I think the Panthers, as they are constituted today, they are insignificantly small. I don't even know what it is that they do other than show up at showing up that day. I think with the police, using the kind of judgment that a police officer is asked to use, probably said the best thing to do is tell these guys to get lost and not make a issue and not make these guys any more famous than they are, because the Black Panther Party today, it's not even what it was. I think that probably these are a bunch of guys who went out and bought some ski caps and called themselves Black Panthers. And I think at the end of the day, the best thing to do, Dave, rather than cause an issue with five guys, is to say, you guys get lost. We got some business going on here, and that's what they did. 877-876-PHIL. Let's move to another phone call. We got Jim in Bradenton, Florida. Jim, you're on the Phil Henry Show. What's going on?
Hey, you know, we need you here during the daytime. You're good.
Well, you're going to have to get, I want you to get that done. By the way, the Justice Department dismissed the case against the Black Panthers in that case in Philadelphia. Go ahead, Jim. What's up?
Hello, Phil.
Yeah, what's up?
I can barely hear you.
Hi, Jim. What do you want to talk about?
Okay. Hey, look, I'm responding to that the so-called doctor that called about the expense of the insurance. Are you insuring everybody?
Yeah, the enslaving the doctors thing?
The
yeah.
The president has said that he's going to try to get the thing so that it doesn't cost. I have a problem thinking that he may not achieve that goal, but
I don't think he will.
I don't
yeah.
have a problem with the fact that it may cost, what, $10 each for each person? It might bring that $20.
I think the deficit of what you're talking, the president wants a deficit neutral, and I think at the outside they're talking about a $29 billion deficit over 10 years, $289 billion for 10 years. That's the liberal, and I mean that in the actual definition of the word, the liberal estimate on paying for this thing. And I don't know where the president, he says deficit neutral. Okay. I mean, I'll believe it when I see it, but I think we're going to probably go into the red in the short term on the deal.
Yeah, but
that's what he was talking about. Yeah.
$10 or $15 a piece over the year, and out to insure everybody.
Per person. Yeah.
You know, it's
yeah.
ridiculous. You know, especially a doctor to call and tell you something like that when hospitals are already getting tax subsidies and grants to put units in for the doctors to use so they could charge you these prices. You know, ridiculous.
Every time an argument is raised to counteract one of the stupid arguments these people make, they raise another one. Even if they're conflicting arguments, the
right.
government can't run a public program. The government's going to run the insurance business out of business. The government, you know, and every time, and then, of course, you find out, Jim, it has nothing to do with dollars and cents. It has to do with ideology. That woman who called that doctor was ideologically opposed to taxing people for public health care, and she used the inflammatory word slavery, and that's what they're doing over there. They don't have an argument. They've got to bring up these terms like slavery and tyranny. And as I've said, the average American wouldn't know tyranny, man. They think tyranny is being forced to take a leak at a certain time of the day when they'd rather be still sitting there watching the ball game. Thank you so much, Jim, for your call. Thank you. It's great to talk with you. Great to talk with all you guys. We're going to take a break now. We're going to get over to our stories we couldn't get to tonight. And as we mentioned, the Department of Justice had dismissed the case against the Black Panthers. Sometimes, like a judge dropping a case against you because you spit on the sidewalk and I realize this is a more serious crime. Sometimes it's better not to create a problem. Now, the Panthers are, the Panthers. But they're also members of the Black community, and there was some fear that Black people were going to be kept from the polls. And, you know, it's a political decision, guys. What do you want me to tell you? 877-876-PHIL. We'll be back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
He's a jackass.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Time now for the stories we couldn't get to tonight here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. A reminder, of course, you can join us online at philhendryshow.com and watch the video of tonight's show when it is up on demand on Monday. In the stories we couldn't get to tonight from Hilldale, Utah, former members of a polygamous church are offering outsiders a guided tour with promises to answer questions about the history and traditions of the community. Richard Holm and his brother Heber Holm. You gotta be kidding me.
That's gotta be a made-up name or something.
Yeah, about as made-up as Bud Dickman.
What do you mean?
Heber Holm. Is he related to Hubert Heber? Anyway, Heber Holm are among those who are launching the Polygamy Experience, a guided tour of Colorado City. The first tour is Saturday. I'll go. I want to see, like, sex and stuff.
That's sick.
Colorado City, Arizona, and Hilldale, Utah are twin towns controlled by the Fundamentalist Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. The four-hour tour will include accounts from those who have lived in the towns. Richard Holm was exiled from the FLDS faith in 2003 by church leader Warren Jeffs because he wouldn't molest children, I guess. Heber Holm left the community 35 years ago. And ever since then, he has declined to change his name, even though he's gone into the business of... anyway, FLDS spokesman Willie Jessup, there's another weird name, says he hopes people won't get suckered into what he calls a scam. Huh? In Sofia, Bulgaria, the draw of the same six winning numbers twice in a row in Bulgaria's national lottery was a freak coincidence, according to officials. Sports Minister Svil Nikov ordered an investigation after the numbers 4, 15, 23, 24, 35, and 42 were selected in a different order by a machine live on television on September the 6th and on September the 10th. The results caused suspicions of manipulation. Boy, I'll bet. And they're blaming Bush. And anyway, an investigation found no... At least Oberman is. Because Oberman lost. He had different numbers. An investigation found no wrongdoing in the draw or determining the winners, its chairman, Konstantin Simonov, claimed. We cannot talk about any manipulation, and we refuse, and that's the end of that. The chance of the same six numbers coming up twice in two consecutive rounds was one in more than 4 million, but it was not impossible, respected mathematician Mikhail Konstantinov said. An unprecedented 18 people guessed all six numbers when they were drawn the second time, and each got $7,700, which in Bulgarian money is like 10,164 babushkas or some jazz like that. Oh, levs.
That's the name of a friend of mine.
You mean the name of a friend of yours? That's what it's called, 10,000 levs. Nobody won the top prize the first time. The lottery organizers say it's impossible to tamper with the lottery machine. The draws take place in the presence of a special committee and is broadcast live on national television, which guarantees no cheating. This is happening for the first time in the 52-year history of the lottery. We are absolutely stunned to see such a freak coincidence, but it did happen, said a spokesman. Heavy. Heavy, Jack, heavy. In Ontario, Canada, a 17-year-old female was arrested twice in the same night after she had had too much to drink. Police report they first arrested the female, whose name cannot be released under the Youth Criminal Justice Act, at 6:30 on Tuesday night for public intoxication. After being lodged in the cells for some time, the girl was handed over to a family member. However, after being released, the girl continued to be a problem and caused further problems at a residence. The teen continued to call repeatedly on the emergency number to the police station, leading to her second arrest and a charge of mischievousness. The teen is scheduled to appear in youth court next month. That's the kind of stuff that makes the news in Canada. Big deal.
Well, I mean, what are the odds of that, man? Like, one in 4 million.
I mean, 1 in 4 million. That's the lottery in Bulgaria, man, not getting popped twice in the same night because you're drunk. In Millville, New Jersey, maybe this is why they call it High Street, police confirmed the odd-looking plants they pulled last week from a flower basket in Millville's business district were indeed, you know, the,
Dr. Green Thumb.
That's right. The plants were discovered by a passerby. Police responded to the scene with a ladder and confiscated the 3-foot-tall plants, which were growing in a basket hanging from a lamppost. The city's Parks and Recreation Department, which tends to the baskets, says it has no idea how the pot plants got there. Yeah, sure. No arrests have been made. Otherwise, they'd have to arrest the chief of Parks and Recreation. In Columbia, South Carolina, a 16-year-old girl has bagged a 10-foot alligator in a South Carolina swamp in the middle of the night with a crossbow. The state newspaper in Columbia reported that Cammie Cullen won one of 1,000 lottery slots for the state's annual public alligator harvest. Hunters are required to use a crossbow or a harpoon. Cammie was the only person in her group authorized to shoot the 353-pound gator. The Lexington resident was with a guide, her father, an uncle, and her brother in an 18-foot boat early Sunday in the headwaters of Lake Marion. They have 40 pounds of alligator steak in the freezer now. Cammie says most of her teachers are using her new nickname, Killer. Yeah. Finally, it's the fried chicken defense. A lawyer for one of the four men accused of plotting to bomb Bronx synagogues complained on Thursday that a government informant plied the suspects with food. You can't watch the tapes that you don't see eating going on, said Marilyn Reeder, lawyers for accused would-be terrorist Liguri Payan. The confidential informant is paying for all these meals. At a pretrial hearing in White Plains Federal Court, Reeder charged that the informant had a charge account at Crown's Chicken on Broadway and let Payer eat there for free. Assistant U.S. Attorney David Leibowitz said he would investigate whether the informant offered inducements of the chicken variety or otherwise to the suspects. I'm going to inquire as to whether there was a Crown Chicken relationship. Phil Henry Show, produced by Jason Rantz. Technical director is Ralph Rodriguez. And until Monday night or Monday morning or Sunday morning, a very good evening from El Pacifico.
Phil Henry.